You say praise the Lord tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you in prayer tonight, asking God that you will, Lord, come and meet with us one more time, Lord. Open your word, Lord, to us to be a help, Lord, a strengthening, Lord, an encouragement to your body, to your believers. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. While you're standing, if you turn with me to the book of Romans, Romans, the 8th chapter. And I want to begin reading at verse 11, Romans 8 and 11. Now, I want to read down for tonight anyway. I want to go ahead and read down to verse 25, but I don't know if I'll get that much covered in the speaking tonight. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the spirit do mortify, that means to put to death, the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so we be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Amen. You may be seated. Now, like I said, I don't know how far I'll get in this scripture, and we may be in it for a little bit. But just looking at verse 11 first. The spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Brother Ram said, he quoted that particular verse out of Romans 8 and 11. He said, not only did he prove to us, that he was Jehovah Redeemer and had power over death and hell and the grave, but he also give us the access to the same spirit that we ourselves can have the assurance that we too are quickened by that spirit. For the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will also quicken your mortal body. Now the word quicken means to be made alive after death. After it's dead, then it's to be quickened. Like he says, gives us access to the same spirit. It's the very same spirit that raised him from the dead that quickens us. The very same spirit. And the Bible says that same spirit dwells in the believer. Brother Branham says in the Easter seal, says, I wonder today what's happening. Are we really getting people to God? Are we just getting them to church? We must get them to Christ, where this quickening power. So it isn't just getting them to church, we got to get them to Christ. Now I know receiving Christ is to receive the word, but it's not just part of the word, it's all of the word. So just getting someone to God, send a prophet, isn't going to quicken their mortal body. That's not where, it has to be all the word. Not only did God send a prophet, but these are the things he said. And through that prophet, the Lamb of God came down and opened all seven seals. Brother Bram said the third pool was the opening of them seals. The opening of the seals, he says, was a manifestation of the third pool. He said, it's good to go to church, sure. But when you come to church, that's good. But go on to Christ from the church, because we must receive this quickening power if we ever expect to be in that general resurrection. So these bodies first, there has to be something quickened within. Amen? There has to be that there is a spiritual quickening that takes place that brings alive the real you from the soul. That's why we're interested in the soul, because that's the real you. That's what we need to bring to life. And once, without that quickening, there would be no resurrection. There first has to be that quickening before it will quicken our mortal bodies for resurrection or even a body change. He says, we must receive this quickening power if we ever expect to be in that general resurrection, because it's the only thing that will ever bring us from the dead. For if the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it also quickens, bring to life your mortal bodies. What a promise to us. Now if that same spirit that was upon him to be the redeemer in that age, that we have accepted now the promise of him in the last days, what would take place? If you become part of that word, you are redeemed with him, because the same spirit that dwelt in Christ is dwelling in you, quickening your life to this age. And also, in the end time, quicken your mortal bodies, resurrect them, bring them up again. That takes a gloom, he says, that takes a gloom away when we look at it in that way, and that's the truth. Paul says, if the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, would also quicken your mortal bodies. This is the same spirit that raised him up, that quickened the true believer to eternal life. The spirit has raised up Jesus from the dead, dwells in to the believer, quickens the believer to eternal life. So you see, that's why there first must be a spiritual quickening. Because without that spiritual quickening, there is no eternal life. But with eternal life, even if we die from this world, we have eternal life. And we'll be raised back up again because we had received the spiritual quickening of the word. That's why I said we've got to get them more than just get them to church. We got to get them to Christ. We got to do more than just get them to some man's ideal. Some man's ideal of it ain't going to quicken nothing. We've had all kinds that has went across the scenes since the prophet left. We've had all kinds crying out this doctrine and that doctrine and the other, and trying to draw off people after them. And every one of them, every last one of them, might have had their heyday. But in the end, it died because there was no quickening power in it. Those false doctrines, their camps die. At one time, there was those that believed in two souls. And I don't mean the way that we believe in it. We believe what the scripture says, that nature that sins got to die. But they were those that believed that the way they believed it, they could go out and live any way they wanted to do and not have to worry about it. Not even have to ask forgiveness. There are still some that believe in that doctrine and have their little tiny gatherings, but they're not big anymore. Matter of fact, you rarely even hear about them. At one time, one of the biggest doctrinal camps there ever was the Seven Thunder Camp. That was one of the biggest ones that came on the scene. And boy, I tell you what, that thing covered from coast to coast. And there was supposed to be seven brothers that supposedly were them seven trumpets. And people flocked after that. People left message churches everywhere to flock after that. And wherever there was a group that believed that, that group flourished and grew big. But then there come a time that it all come tumbling down. Brother Branham says they run themselves out on a limb, and then when they get out there, they got no place else to go. And that's exactly what every one of them's done. There was no quickening power in them. There was nothing in them but death. Amen, it's just like this brother from Canada that's got his satellite churches and meetings and you know, has to believe in the, well, you just got to be part of what they believe in their body or you're not in the body of Christ. There ain't nothing there but death. There's no quickening power there, and I'll tell you what's going to happen. It'll die. One of these days, they'll wake up. Like I said, when the other service, when those 100-pound balls of ice start falling out of the skies, they'll wake up and say, I thought they were supposed to be a rapture first. There was, but you never received the quickening power. The quickening power lies only in the pure word of God. That's why you can't sit under somebody who doesn't have the Holy Ghost and think you're going to get the Holy Ghost. It's not that you receive it from that individual, but unless that individual's been quickened, how can he preach quickening word to you? So the preacher's got to be quickened before he can even preach the quickening word. Whew. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, it says in verse 12. We are debtors. We know what that means. We're in debt to him because, friends, the price that had to be paid for us to have the access to that same spirit was that the man who the spirit dwelled in had to die so that that same spirit could come back upon the believer. So he paid the price. He had to die in order to redeem us back. He was the redeemer. Christ the Redeemer. And we've been redeemed. As the song says, by the blood of the Lamb, we've been redeemed. Now, later in this particular verses we read, it lets us know that though we've been redeemed, there's still to be a change of the body. That though we've been redeemed, we're living in a body that is not reflecting redemption. Because if this body was reflecting redemption, we wouldn't grow old. We wouldn't be subject to sickness and illnesses. But this body is still subject to condemnation by representation. As we were represented in the garden, and man chose to partake of the tree of knowledge instead of just eating from all the other trees of the garden. Then he said, in that day you eat thereof, that day ye shall die. And man has been dying ever since. Not one has ever lived to be 1,000 years old or one day in God's eyes. That we know is yet to come in the millennium. Because of that, our bodies grow old. And if time will tarry, there's some of us that will go by the way of the grave and will be looking forward to that resurrection. And then it'll be up to the young ones to keep carrying this on. I know that there's times when I think, Lord, I want to be alive when this happens. Then there's other times I'm going through things and I think, God, just take me now. But we're thankful. Amen. We are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of this body, ye shall live. Look, our flesh feels a whole lot of things. And like I said, it gives us trouble. And this flesh is not, as I was saying just a moment ago, not in a redeemed state. So it gives us problems. And I'll tell you what, Satan knows how to work on your flesh. And he'll do it. Satan can keep you stirred up over something that happened 10 years ago. And he can keep you stirred up over it like it just happened yesterday. If you let him. Satan, I'm going to tell you something. Satan loves for us to hold grudges. Because when we hold a grudge, we build up such a wall around ourselves. And we end up being just miserable. So what do you do with it? You let it go. That's just simply what you do. You say, but I get these thoughts. Don't dwell on them. It's like Brother Bram said, you can't stop, he said, the birds from flying over, but that doesn't mean you got to let them nest. And he was talking about our thoughts. But don't let those thoughts take root and nest there and get to dwelling on them. Hey, look, I know what I'm talking about. You'll get to dwelling on it, and it'll get you so upset, you'll even start to have dreams about it. You'll start to have dreams about, if you're upset with an individual or think you are, you'll have dreams about them. And when you wake up, you'll be twice as mad at them as you was before you went to sleep. And they hadn't even done another thing. There, friends, look, if I wore my feelings on my cuffs, my feelings have been hurt many times over the years I've been here pastoring. But I just shrug it off. And I think, well, the person didn't know any better. They just didn't understand. Just let it go. Don't carry it around. Because if you carry it around, if I carried it around every time I got in this pulpit, it'd be standing right there in front of me. I'd be thinking about what that person said to me and how they hurt my feelings. But I got to give that over to God. Why? Because I can't have what happens up here to be tainted by some fleshly feelings. You understand that? If I hold on to fleshly feelings, then it's going to taint what happens up here. It's going to taint it. You understand that word? Well, it's the same thing with you. If you hold on to them fleshly feelings against this one or that one or the other one, then come in here, it's going to taint your experience here in the church. It's going to taint what you get to hear and what you don't hear. And Satan will make sure you don't hear the very thing you need to hear. This is quickening. You realize that demons that torture us, those demons they flee when the word is preached. If you'll believe it, if you'll believe the word, it makes them flee. Don't tell me you can't get over something that's always in front of you. Don't tell me that, because I know better. The last 10 months I've had to get over something that's been there that's just I live with every day. If you can't and you live by the flesh, you'll be treating that individual wrong. I don't care how wrong they are. I don't care if they're as wrong can be and you think you're as right as rain. If you treat them bad, you're wrong. I don't care what they've done to you. You cannot walk this Christian walk and turn around and be evil to somebody. You can't return evil for evil. We've got to return love for it. And the prophet of God taught us so much about love, that what love can do. Remember when he talked to one in man, and the man had told him, he said, I'm trying to do everything I can to get my wife to believe this message. Brother Ram talked to him a while, and he realized the man was trying to do it through force. And he said, you're going about it all wrong. He said, go home. He told him to get some flowers and something, candy or something and take to her. But what he told him to do was show her love. And the testimony wanted to say it won her to Christ. Love is a powerful thing. The Bible doesn't say God has love. It said God is love. It's powerful. We can love our enemies. Say, boy, I don't know if I can do that or not. That doesn't mean I got to hang out with them. David in the Psalms, he didn't want to hang out with his enemies. Sometimes you'll find out, Brother Branham said, in prayer you'll find out it's not your brother that's the enemy, but it's the devil that's influencing him. But if they give over to the devil and become possessed by the very those demons that are the enemy to the believers, then it does make that individual an enemy. But what if the devils were cast out? Because they can be cast out. That's one of the things that follows the true believers. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we don't want to live after the flesh because it just brings death. But we want to be led by the Spirit. And it said, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Fear is something that we fight. And many times that's the thing that gets us in our flesh is fear. We're afraid that it's going to be that way or this way, or I'm afraid that this will never happen for me. Fear. And I'll tell you what, fear has a way of disguising itself where if you're not careful, you won't even know you're being driven by fear. To try to retaliate against someone, you're doing it through fear. But we've not received the spirit, it says, of bondage again to fear. We're not under that bondage. We're free from that. As a matter of fact, it says perfect love casts out fear. So we come back again to love and the power of love. And I'll tell you what, friends. Maybe we sit here tonight and we think, Lord, I need help. I don't know about loving some of the ones that's done evil to my family. I don't know, Lord. But what about loving one another? Can we love one another that we go to church with? Let's start there. It's going to have to start there first. And I'll tell you what, Satan likes to work through family. He does. He wants to keep families tore up. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things that, there's things you got to overlook. If I didn't overlook things, I'd probably end up having something against every one of my children. That's truth. But you overlook things. Why? One thing, they're younger. They ain't been through the experiences that you've been through. And God forbid that I'd hurt one of them. I'd rather me be hurt than them hurt. I'd never want to hurt one of my children. I wouldn't want, I can't help it when it does happen, but my desire is not to have any of my children feeling bad toward me. But if they let Satan get in and they feel that way, there's nothing I can do about it. So what do you do when it's that way? Well, I'll tell you what I do. I thank God for the ones that I've got good relationships with. It's a choice. We've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. We'll go into that more clearly as we get on down in here. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's the thing Satan would like to shake your confidence on. See, the reason he stirs up these things in the flesh is so he can come back and point his finger at you. Because he's the accuser of the brother. So he tries to stir these things up and stir up bad feelings. And then turn around and point his finger at you and say, look at you. Why? You ain't even a good Christian because you're feeling this way. What do you do with it? He's a liar. He's the one that was stirring up them feelings to begin with. It wasn't your thoughts, it's his thoughts. The spirit that raised up Christ from the dead doesn't torment us. Torments of the devil. He's the one. If you're being tormented in your mind, then I tell you the devil is the one that's behind it. It's just that simple. Friends, the devil doesn't want perfect love to exist here in this body. Believers. He doesn't want that, but it's going to happen anyway. He can't stop it. He's trying his best, but you know what? You're not going to let him. You'll stand, every one of the believers will stand against that. Stand against him. It might take, friends, look, I've been knocked for a loop before. Felt like I couldn't get back up on my feet. But eventually you'll get on your feet because why? You're elected to do it. And whatever it is, you will get over it. Why? Because you are elected to. God has elected you. You are the elect of God. Time Satan, what he wants to do is get us where we don't even feel like children of God. Oh, but I'll tell you something. There's something down in there that you know testifies that you are a child of God. What is it? That spirit that's quickened you. Hallelujah. It's quickened you and you know it has. You know you're not what you used to be. You know there's been a change in you. And whatever changed you, if you had a change to at one time to love these individuals, well then you can love the other individuals. just let the same thing work in you. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be we suffered with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Yeah, sure, we suffer things. We go through hard trials. And during those times, we suffer. And there's times when God will even allow you to go through a desert, spiritually speaking. And there's times he'll let you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, just like David described. But there'll be some dry times. And that's when you got to know that he is God. That he's your God. And that whether you feel him or not, he's still your God. Amen. Brother Branham said it's in those times you got to be certain of God. Those times when you go through, he said, when you feel like you don't even feel the presence of God. He said, but that's when you got to be certain of God. You have heard you've heard the saying, being raised with a silver spoon. They've never had to do nothing for themselves. Never had to make their own way, never had to do without. They've always had. Some of them that's that way today, famous people, why their grandfathers was the ones that actually came from being poor and made their way into whatever type of thing they're in and made the money that they got. But this other generation, they ain't never know what it's like not to have. So they don't even appreciate what they got. So God allow us to go through times where we don't have. So we'll appreciate the times when we do. He'll allow us to go through some dry spells. So we'll appreciate when the presence of God comes and settles down around us. We won't take it for granted. He'll allow us to go through times of praying for something and seeming like no answer would come. Brother Adam said, again, that's when you've got to be certain of God. When you pray and seems like there's no answer coming to your prayer. The answer's coming. But we got to patiently wait on it. God brings it about in his time. Friends, I'll tell you something. As humans, we don't like to suffer. I'll tell you, I've got soft, I don't know, but I can't stand to be sitting still and sweat pouring off me like I was working. If I'm sitting still, I want to be cool. I'm spoiled by air conditioning. My family thinks I'm part polar bear. I ran my air conditioner last night, the one in my room. Why? Because I like it that way. I don't want to sweat while I'm sleeping. That's just me. But We don't like to suffer. That's what I'm talking about. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to go through times of long times of praying and waiting for an answer and it taking 10 months for the answer to get there. It isn't no fun. But there was never ever said there was anything about this walk that was ever that we was going to have fun the whole way. Ah, we have times of joy. Amen. Times of gladness, times of happiness. Sure we have them. I'll tell you what, I'm a happy man tonight. But 10 months ago, I wasn't as happy as I am tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, to have been here tonight. Thankful, Lord, for the outpouring of your Spirit upon your word, to open your word to us in such a real and living way, dear God, whereby, Lord, we can take verses and passages of this scripture, and, Lord, they have so much meaning and stir, Lord, within us, Lord, an understanding of you. Lord, give us strength, encouragement, gives us strength to carry on the days ahead. I ask God you to bless your people now. In Jesus' name. I just wanted to tell you, I know that you've been praying for us and we hadn't said much lately about what was going on in court. But it's been going on. It's been going on for 10 months, what we were going through. And one of the family had been falsely accused. But I thank God yesterday the case got dismissed. And the judge said he'd sign off on it. So it's in the past. It was hard. And I know you might think, well, I don't know exactly what it was about. It would just take my word for it. It was really hard. Yeah. And especially when there's been a lie told. And then you end up in court over a lie. And then, you know, for some reason, people like to believe sensational lies more than they do the truth. It don't matter whether you're innocent or not. It matters whether they think you are. But I thank God that he provided a way to prove the innocence. And it be in the court records and them to dismiss the case. So I thank you for your prayers. Amen.
tell the church, I see a big change again in the church. The windows got put in at the church and everything. I didn't mean to interrupt service, but I see a big change in the church again. I see Brother Jerry's, you notice Brother Jerry has changed. I mean, I can see where Brother Jerry's really healed from what he was. And I just want to say I'm seeing major changes. I mean, I know we're going into the fall season. I see in windows and everything, and I see changes. And it excites me so well. I mean, I really see a change in Brother Jerry. And I'm really happy how everything went, and a lot of pressure's off the church. But I see a big change in Brother Jerry. And that brother right there, the prayer he prayed, talking about, you know, it's a choice. If you want to go on, what are you? I'm willing and ready to go on. I've been through a lot here lately, and I'm willing and ready to go on. I'm excited for all of y'all, and I'm excited for Brother Jerry. Brother Jerry, I'm really excited for Brother Jerry, and I'm just excited. I mean, I see how much he's changed and how his ministry is. So bless you, church. I just wanted to tell it. I didn't mean to interrupt church. But bless you, brother.